As we move toward the end of our theme and discourse, Spirit of Truth, we invite your attention to our base text of Scripture, which is found in the 8th chapter of Romans. Everybody should be thoroughly familiar with this. It is our intent within the next several weeks to conclude this series. I know we've been on this since about May. But you know, there's some things you just have to take your time and go through. This is the essence of what life is and what life entails. Amen. And it is a blessing that God has conveyed these things to us and given us an entrance into His workings.
Yes, yes.
God has enlightened us.
Yes.
He has allowed us to see His plan and His will and His purpose as it unfolds.
Yes.
Time is the manifestation arena which God, amen, He displays the things that He had foreordained, and some of it we like, and some of it we don't like, some of it we understand, and some of it we don't understand. Whether you like it or not like it, or whether you understand or whether you don't understand, amen, the will and the purpose of God, amen, it must come to pass, and it will come to pass, amen. But we who are the beloved, His beloved, His elect, those that He has called, and He has placed into the mystical body of Christ, those of us, amen, that He foreknew, those of us that are created vessels of mercy and vessels of love, vessels of grace, amen. Now, we have a decided advantage because we are blessed. We are more than blessed because of the favor that He has shown toward us. And so we say amen to His will this morning. Hallelujah. Let it be done. Whatever it is.
Yes,
think of a song that the young lady was singing the other night, the fair we were at. God is sovereign.
Good,
and He can do what He wants, when He wants to, and how He wants to do it. Amen. Because He's God. Amen. And we certainly agree. And we certainly, amen, are in complete alignment with the essence of the sovereignty of God. And that to the end, we are so patriotic that whatever we believe that whatever He does is good.
That's right.
Amen. However He does it is good. When He does it is good. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that mindset, we say God is good.
Yes.
Even when the circumstances are not working out according to what we want, we say God is good.
Yeah.
Amen. Even when things seem gloom, and as man would view it, doom, we still say God is good. Hallelujah. All right, in the 8th chapter, Romans, Deacon Gavins, be our designated reader this morning. As I said, we are moving now very rapidly. Probably sometimes within the next few weeks, we shall conclude this. And it is such a blessing to set and receive the enlightenment of God's Word. It makes so much difference in life and what life is and what life has to offer. Amen. And it's more than the physical mundane things that are around you, regardless of whether they are good or whether they're bad, or regardless of what goes down, amen, world events and all of these things, you'll find yourself putting them into a category of being subordinated to the essence of God's eternal workings and plans once you come to understand it. All right, Deacon, I want you just to read the 16th, 17th, and 18th verse. Then I'm going to be going through the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We've gone through verses 17 and 18. We've gone through Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, 27, 28, 29. We're going to skip all of that for the sake of time. I am going to try to wrap this up within the next 2 or 3 weeks or so. So we'll move from that directly to Colossians chapter 1. I think that's verse 24 is where we left off last week, as we move, amen, toward the ending this course. All right, everybody got Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Say amen. All right, read.
Romans 8:16.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
See all of these benefits. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep reading.
If so be that we suffer with him,
mm-hmm,
that we may be also glorified together.
And we dealt with the essence of that suffering. He's speaking about the identification with the suffering that the result in glory, which is the suffering of Christ, and our identification with it through baptism. We're talking spiritual baptism. Amen. We identify according to the 6th chapter of Romans. All right, verse 18, read.
For I reckon,
mm-hmm,
that the sufferings of this present time,
oh my Lord,
are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen. So we're going through some things now, but God is doing something with these things that we have gone through and we've dealt with in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, how that he uses them to identify us with the suffering of Christ, and how, amen, it just binds us. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, the workings of God. He is so magnificent.
Oh, yes.
Amen. The human mind cannot comprehend it. But for those of us who are here, given the Spirit of Truth conveys to us the mind and the working of God, because we of ourselves, the human mind, the natural mind, the carnal mind, cannot understand what is going on. Amen. Because basically the Spirit of Truth is the one who understands the mind of God, and his job is to convey it to the spirit of some men, not all men. Everybody don't know this. You're blessed this morning that you know it. Amen. And Paul said, I make a calculated evaluation, amen, that the suffering that we're going through now is not nothing if you compare it with the glory that shall be revealed. King James has in us, amen, revealed in us. We shall show before we complete this that is more correctly expressed unto us. We'll see, amen, what that is basically. The ramifications of that, but that's a little ways down the road yet, as we come to our conclusion. But I want you to turn. Let me skip all of that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. All right. Elder, you know, I want you to just Brother Deacon, drop back here to verse 23. There's something that I need to garner there and carry into this context. All right, everybody got the 23rd verse of the first chapter of Colossians. Say amen. All right, read.
Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith.
Now here Paul is not dealing with this from the standpoint, and any time you see that construction here, you see the preposition is, Paul uses the structure of that writing not to put a condition on whether one will continue. But as you will see throughout all of the writings of Paul, he never vouched for or against anyone's salvation. So here this is structured basically to say what follows here, is relevant to you if you are a member of the body of Christ. And of course, the only thing that is the determinant as to whether you're a member of the body of Christ is whether you were chosen and elected in eternity. So basically, those who are his and those who are elected, those who are called, those who have been baptized, are placed into the body of Christ, will continue. There's no doubt about that. Amen. Read. So as you continue in the faith,
grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel.
Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Amen.
Which ye have heard.
Which you have heard.
And which was preached.
And was preached.
To every creature which is under the heaven.
Here upon us there does, and sometimes some of these translations, they do an injustice to the end that there are those that have to stop and make some type explanation because it is a fact that the gospel, especially the gospel of grace, but no gospel has been preached to every creature on this earth. Amen. And some people never heard it. It wasn't meant for them to hear it. Amen. I know that sounds tough. Amen. But here upon us there, in the absence of the definite article, it means to everyone of a kind in creation. And that means to all of God's elect. So this is preached to the elect. One gospel or the other is conveyed to his elect, depending upon the dispensation. In this dispensation, the dispensation of grace, you will be talking about the gospel, the grace of God, the gospel of grace. This is what Paul is saying. So each of a kind in creation, read.
Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister.
Which this was the reason I am made a minister. What was given to Paul and what was committed to him was a dispensation and the gospel for that dispensation, which is the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. A vital truth that is referred to as the mystery. Which Paul even writes in another place to say, if a man even thinks himself to be, amen, a prophet, a preacher, a minister, even to think himself spirit, amen, let him acknowledge that the thing that I preach, they are the commandments of God for this dispensation. There's only one gospel for this dispensation. And I know some said that's taken a very narrow view, amen. But when you look at it real, very, 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 very close, the only gospel that fits this age and our dispensation without having to try to do something to it to make it fit is the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. We'll deal with that a little later. That's not where we're going this morning. Verse 24, read.
Who now rejoice in my suffering?
Who now rejoice in my suffering?
For you.
For you.
and fill up that which is behind.
Fill up that which is behind
of the afflictions of Christ.
Of the afflictions of Christ
in my flesh.
In my flesh. Oh my God!
For His body's sake, which is the church.
Isn't this awesome? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Paul goes on in the 25th verse. This is a reason why I was made a minister. Amen. If the essence of the total gospel had been manifested at Pentecost, there would have been no need, amen, for God to call Paul into the ministry. Amen. Some said that Paul was just an expanded, his gospel is just an expanded version of the gospel that was committed unto Peter and to John and to James, that nothing could be further from the truth.
Amen.
This is why it was necessary for them to call the council up at Jerusalem, because there was trouble.
Yeah.
Amen. Peter and John and James and the other kingdom apostles, they were preaching that which was they had been commissioned to preach.
Yeah.
And then Paul comes along with a gospel that in many ways conflicted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had to call and say, we cannot preach both of these.
Yeah.
I agree to this day.
Yeah.
Amen. You cannot preach them both.
Yeah.
Amen. That kingdom law be that which it is to its recipients, and then that the grace of God be what it is to those who are in a call into this this dispensation. Amen. It is a blessing for Paul writes in the 25th verse. In fact, why don't you just read that, Brother Deacon? Read that. Read it.
Verse 25.
Uh-huh.
Whereof I am made a minister.
Where I'm made a minister.
According to the dispensation of God.
Uh huh.
Which is.
According kata, dominated by. Amen. The domination of Paul's ministry was that a new dispensation is given, and that dispensation was one that was hid, as Paul recounts and he records and documents in the third chapter of Ephesians, that it was not known by the prophets, it was not known by any man. So none of the prophets knew it, and none of even the disciples and the apostles, amen. And this is why none of them knew it, and this is why Peter states that, but Paul speaks of some things it's hard to understand, amen. And which speaks to the end that this is why he would write to Timothy, and he wasn't just writing to the ministers and the pastors and the preachers. He says, study, endeavor to be an unashamed worker before God, right to cutting this thing straight. Amen. Because it doesn't just come. You certainly receive it through the enlightenment of those things that God has so graciously blessed us with. Now, in that 24th verse, which we'll focus on here, as it relates to our context here from the Greek text. Are you with me this morning? Now I rejoice in my suffering on behalf of you, and do fill up, contribute to the completeness what is needed, our absence of the tribulation of Christ in my flesh, on behalf of for God, for His body, which is the symbol, which is the church, which is the call out one. Many don't understand this language, because when you say body of Christ, they're thinking of some organization and some denomination or some building. Amen. But here he gives reference to the spiritual organism.
Oh, yeah.
of that to which is not revealed in other ages and not known, you must go to the writings of the Apostle Paul,
yep.
Amen, and what God gave him to even, amen, talk about the body of Christ,
yes.
Amen, but,
yes.
Because Moses never knew it. Abraham never knew it. And the prophets never knew it. And the disciples never knew it. Oh man, hallelujah. But here the apostle states that he was presently rejoicing here. We have the Greek word mean, adverb mean, rendered now. So Paul said, I'm now rejoicing. Even as I'm writing this, I'm going through some things, but I'm rejoicing because I have some facts. Amen. You understand these facts, amen, something takes on a different connotation. The Greek word tis parimasin, rendered the suffering. The suffering of his endurance. Not only the suffering of Paul, but yours, mine also. It's all. As we have dealt with in the other passages, there's a purpose for the suffering. God is working something out. Here it is for the sake of those ministering, amen, to God's people. Here we notice how Paul's attitude is formed. That is his rejoicing. Why is Paul rejoicing? Well, he's rejoicing because, amen, he has garnered and gleaned, amen, the workings of God, and the relationship of it to the body of Christ. Amen. That it is tied to his, was tied to his commission, and it is tied to ministering.
Yes.
Amen. Suffering is concomitant with ministering.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, we don't have time this morning. Amen. He said, Ananias, this man must suffer.
Yes.
Amen. Here we have the imperative mood. I'm going to show him things that he must suffer for myself. Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, amen. The ministry entails must suffer.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
And as he understood it, he knew that he was destined to suffer.
Yeah.
And he deemed it not as being negative, but as being positive. So it is like he counted it as a privilege to function in his role of struggling to fulfill the needs of conveying the mystery that had been revealed to him regarding the church.
Yes,
amen. Note Paul's declaration was that his, as well as all efforts, as sacrificial as they may be, amen, there is something likened, amen. What he is saying is that as sacrificial as it may be, he uses the term isterimantai, rendered liking, amen, absence of fulfillment, incomplete. And Paul said, all the suffering that I do, amen, will not be enough to be worthy for the effort that will be put into this ministry. Oh my God, hallelujah. So the thought conveys is that the entire spectrum of these struggles, amen, involved in all of the work of the ministry. And it takes a lot. A lot.
Thanks.
Amen. Sometimes when I'm laboring, sometimes when I come in here in the morning, I begin to labor and deal, and if it goes all day and even into the night, when I leave, I always feel that, amen, I could have done more.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's not enough. Because it takes a lot.
Yes.
In developing and nurturing, instructing, teaching, overseeing the work of the ministry. Amen. And so whatever we do, it is far from being adequate in the full application of what this all entails. Notice how Paul compares suffering uses the term tonglepsion to Christo, rendered the afflictions of Christ. Here this depicts the tribulation involved in justifying those who are placed in the body of Christ. In other words, if you ever started thinking you're doing too much, think about what Christ did.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And when you look at what he did and what he suffered, amen, Paul said what we're doing is nothing compared to what he did.
Yes.
So thus, Paul understood that in spite of the fact that his pressures and circumstances of suffering on behalf of Christ, of the church, rather, it was by God's design.
Mm-hmm.
These afflictions were only partial contributions, as we conveyed last week. They were only partial contributions to the entire gamut in establishing and the continuation of the ministry. So it is devised that as Paul took pleasure in the knowledge that God had favored him to suffer in this capacity, that as we gain the knowledge, amen, and we receive our assignments, we follow suit, amen, and rejoice in the God of our salvation, recognizing that this is all part of God's design. As I said last week, how many of us can be happy if God is having his way, even if we're not having our way? Huh? Amen. Huh? Hallelujah.
Yes.
And this can be summed up in what we call spiritual maturity or spiritual growth. Here, as we focus on spiritual growth or maturity, it is defined for me now as the ever-increasing enablement to know God. Such growth is always motivated by one's desire to be like him. Spiritual maturity, and I've gone through this before, I'm repeating it again, yes, repetition. Learning, 90%
yes,
comes from repetition. Amen. I think someone said to me, as I sit under you, Pastor, I can almost finish some of your sentences. Well, good. Amen. Spiritual maturity, though, in this sense, it's a never-ending voyage of development into the nature of God. In essence, it is the process of one which has been rescued from the plight of depraved humanity, developing a profound and intimate relationship with his Savior.
Glory.
It's a reflection of oneness, of one's nearness to him, and as a measure of the love and care of God for us. Oh my God. Hallelujah. As one progresses in this realm, it entails the enhancement of one's ability to view things in recognition of the truth and their meaning, and internalize the goodness of God in all occurrences, in all things. God is good. Can you say God is good this morning? Through this is demonstrated the gradual elimination of one's selfish agenda, of our selfish agendas. As we maximize our awareness of the willness, the will of God, amen, our focus then falls on his agenda, amen. And if you ever get caught up with his agenda, then you realize that you don't have one. Amen. Oh my Lord, your role is to function according to his agenda. The eternal view of God's decrees instills a sense of security that is unavailable outside of developing in his purpose, as the thrill, yes I said, the thrill and comfort of his divine presence becomes increasingly clear to our consciousness. This in fact is the reality of the spiritual maturity which results and allows for his devised plans for improved receptivity for the divine wisdom of God. This in effect unifies our personality and brings it in alignment with God, and it increasingly yields a peace will pass all human understanding. In fact, it defies human understanding. And thus, it must be thoroughly comprehended that God is the source of all understanding, and thus He is the source of all knowledge, and that knowledge invariably is tied to His deity. The function of the Spirit of Truth is to mediate, and I think I brought this out last week too, the function of the Spirit of Truth is to mediate between spiritual and physical things.
Yes.
Oh my God. Think about that a minute.
Thank you.
He is the indispensable medium for communication.
Yes.
And those communications involves the conveyance of a distinct line of demarcation between that which is spiritual and that which is physical. Amen. This is why in the first chapter of Ephesians, verse 3, Apostle Paul, before he goes through, the essence of God's workings in eternity, he's careful in the third verse to identify them as spiritual blessings. Amen. There's nothing physical that you see God working with because there was nothing physically around. Oh my God. Hallelujah. For Him to work with. So we're speaking of spiritual blessings. But the Spirit of Truth was commissioned to convey these things unto us. Here, the spiritual mind invariably seeks to coordinate with that which is spiritual, and thus its influence is always dominant over physical things. The Spirit of God that indwells our minds calls it to depend upon Him for expression and the spiritual realization of the truth is that which enhances our spiritual growth. Accordingly, follow me now. It is what one mind comprehends rather than what it desires that will ensure development and growth.
Amen.
This is why we focus on this gospel of the grace of God, because through the enlightenment of the mystery, we are advised that eternity entails, follow this, non-material, spiritualized, glorified bodies and minds.
Yes, glory, hallelujah. Thank God.
That's what the gospel of grace focuses on and prioritizes.
Yes.
Again, eternity entails non-material, non-physical, spiritualized, glorified bodies and minds. Even though we will obviously in eternity retain earth ministries that possess spiritual meaning and value of those blessings that God has bestowed upon us, our spiritual and intellectual development at that point will have become complete from the point it is interrupted by a transformation out of here. And I gave some verses of scripture, 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, 2 Corinthians 3, 18, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. And even those that might be listening to this through the internet, basically the document, the Spirit of Truth, will be available, and we hope that sometimes within the coming weeks it will also will be on the internet. You can just you can just copy it. Amen. Now, our earthly intolerances, this I want everybody to stop and listen to. So you know what's going on. Our earthly intolerance for endurance, our earthly intolerance for suffering can be attributed to unfounded expectations of the depraved creation in which we live. You're disappointed because you expected something that wasn't realistic. You were expecting something because it was your will that was not in the plan of God. But the sober fact is, we do not presently reside in a friendly, nor an accommodating universe. This is so because our present environment is sinful and physical rather than holy and spiritual. Thus, the accommodations for serenity and peace are all things working in a harmonious pattern, are reserved for eternity rather than time. You're going to get there. The joy, the blissfulness. Oh, my God. And everything being, we take the story, everything is going my way. Amen. Yes, in eternity. Not now. Amen. Not now. Amen. Everything. Because guess what? In the glorified state, God's way will be our way.
That's right.
Amen. That's the way it works. So, this is why we focus and prioritize eternity over time. It is the eternal setting that focal energy and absolute existence in primordially, that is, that which is existent from the beginning, primordially and preemptively harmonize. As God is established and supportedly manifested within himself, the creator of an everlasting universe. I think I'll repeat that. Break it down. In the eternal setting, all of the focus of energy and everything has been preemptively harmonized and organized in the essence of God. And everything revolves around him and points to him and glorified within him. And this is the way God has created the everlasting universe. Amen. So, in the essence of existing in eternity, everything is going to always go the right way. Everything is going to happen all the time, when it should, how it should. Amen. Because all things that are happening will be glorifying God. Oh my God. Isn't that something? Give the Lord a hand, please. Yes. Follow me now as we move into the home stretch.
Thank God.
This more than 7 months of this course. As we view the original creation and then what it evolved into, our focus should rest on its ultimate state rather than its current state. Life in the eternal realm is not invested in endless unrest, our idleness, a selfless unease, but rather it is a ceaseless progression in grace, truth, and glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So all of this haphazard stuff that we see and things of moving up, all of that will pass. Amen. Oh my God. God has already laid it out, has it laid out. Amen. Only thing he needs to do at this point is to take us out of time into the sphere of eternity. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because life in the eternal realm, amen, is a future station of a permanent existence where life is designed and prepared for the children of light to go from glory to glory in the divine estate of spiritual perfection, even as God is perfect in all things. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, how would you love, amen, dwell in perfection. Oh my God. We would have to be out of these bodies to experience that. There's no way you can even experience that. It is hard to even fathom that. Even with the spiritually energized bodies that God has given us, it is still almost remote in our minds. One day we shall dwell in perfection. We shall dwell in goodness. We shall dwell in blissfulness. We shall.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise His name. All right. Give me about 10 minutes here. Amen. Then we can all go downstairs and eat. This temporary life is obviously, follow me now. This temporary life is obviously designed to prepare His elect for the eternal life to come.
Yeah.
In this sense, grace and mercy characterize God's attitude of love for His individual designees. Amen. Whereas the culmination of all things in Him motivates His attitude for the rest, or for the whole. Amen. Everything else that is going on, other than the fact that God is preparing a special place for us, it's just the generalized essence of Him bringing all things and combining all things together. He has specific, great, and glorious plans for us. Amen. Oh, are we blessed this morning.
Yes. Yes.
But the material universe is the arena where all physical activities and beings ascend and work on physical spheres of material, so-called material reality. Consequently, mortal man has a spiritual void. He is spiritually, has a spiritual deficit. You see, the depraved human mind is a personal energy system existing estranged from the divine spirit of God as it functions in a material environment. Such a separate relationship of the carnal mind from the Holy Spirit constitutes the universe potential of conflictual personalities. In other words, amen, you are having conflict, because the things that are accommodating to the flesh, amen, are not those things that God has designed, and not those things that are concomitant with eternity. Amen. The things that are accommodation to the flesh are the evil, wicked, amen, and depraved things that are associated with our current environment. Now, the covenants of the Old Testament, and this is why, you know, some say, well, you're taking a narrow view. And as we were saying in Sunday school this morning, do not go into those areas of the Bible, take what you read there, and try to customize it to fit the grace dispensation. What is going on now? Amen. That covenant was designed for that dispensation, and it worked in that dispensation according as God has designed it. Amen. But I don't think anybody this morning came to church that in a horse and buggy. They still have horse and buggies. Why don't you go out and hitch up a team this morning? No, because you have motorized vehicles now. Amen. And that to work well in that day, because that's what that was all about. And neither can you go into kingdom law, which was really going to confuse you, because it is for a future time, a future dispensation. So you can take that to, amen, which is devised and designed for the future, and customize it to fit what's going on right now.
Amen.
This is why, amen, if someone comes up to you and they compel you to do something, he said, if they compel you to walk 1 mile, do what? Walk several, many. Amen. There are people in this age that will use you up. even the turning of the other cheek. Amen. That is the design for a time when Satan will be in the pit. Amen. And Jesus will rule this world from David's stone with a wrought iron. Amen. And everything will move when it should and how it should, because he'll make sure, amen, that it will. And this he has devised to show his power. Amen. But if you go around right now saying, I'm turning the other cheek, somebody will beat you to a pulp.
Amen.
So that doesn't work in this dispensation. And the cut off of the hands and the nose and the ears, we will all be walking around mutilated, amen, because invariably, amen, the instruments and members of your body do every day are feeding you.
That's it.
So the colors of the Old Testament, they basically teach self-sacrifice, while the grace covenant teaches self-mortification and enhanced self-realization that we are the praying creatures. The covenants of past dispensations were motivated by fear consciousness, whereas the grace dispensation's focus is guided by true conviction of the eternal purpose, will, and plan of God.
Yes. Glory.
So our lasting relationship, though not fully understood by us, it began in eternity. It is made manifest to us through time, but from the beginning, it is designated and focused on eternity. Now, as I bring this to a conclusion today, follow this. The Word of God teaches that the trials and vicissitudes of life experiences, which are often result of the imperfections of the prayed creation, they are more than matched by the knowledge given us by God to overcome each challenge. There are times, follow me now, you're going to need this. There are times when the earth seems cruel and desolate and life inconsequential. And I know you all been there. When you feel that nothing has security as it works in all a weakened and vulnerable stress towards collapse. You know how vulnerable we feel. Amen. When we're just looking at things that are around us. Anything can happen to any of us at any time. Don't listen to those ministries that teach you that you can be exempt from this and exempt. Our gospel does not exempt us from anything but eternal separation from God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And that's more than enough for me. Hallelujah. But life vagaries are life erratic, unpredictable occurrences often causes us to feel insecure. This in some cases evolved from situations that may be real or even at times they are imagined. No human is immune to such stress, but the knowledge of God's designed workings provide an inner stability that imparts joy and peace in the midst of all the capricious circumstances of life. I'm going to repeat that.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
None of us are immune from feeling stress. But the knowledge of God's designed workings, the things that we've been talking about, what God is doing and how he's working, the knowledge provides an inner stability And when you dwell upon that, what exudes from it is joy. Peace. Right
in the midst
of all of these erratic occurrences that are going around.
Yes.
Those who solely depend upon the comforts and pleasure of this life, you better hear me this morning, are destined to experience bitter disappointment. I'm going to say that again.
Hallelujah.
Those who solely depend upon the comforts and pleasures of this life are destined to experience bitter disappointments. I said solely. Those who solely depend upon these things, you're destined for disappointment. It is only through our enduring relationship with God, which of necessity dictate that we ascertain the combination of His love and power, that we realize the meagerness of humanity.
Yes.
It is from this viewpoint that we are privileged to comprehend the bounty of God's infinite provisions as they overshadow our illusions of insecurity. In essence, no God knowing and no child of God, no one who has the understanding, no knowledge of a child of God, I should say, can ever be permanently disillusioned. Confusion arises from immaturity in the face of the multiplicity of human philosophies and the surface influences of logic appearing to justify them.
Yeah.
I said it again. Our confusion arises from our state of immaturity as we focus on and become a captive of human philosophy and those things that seem to support it. This is why we cannot depend upon our logic. This is offset by ongoing spiritual revelations from the Word of God, which are designed to dissipate these transient debilitations.
Thank God.
But doubt is even more sinister, even more evil than confusion.
Yes.
And that all is that is not of faith, according to Romans 14:23,
thank you, Jesus,
is sin. As it rationalizes the logic of human depraved thinking over God's devised course of trust and commitment. Again, doubt gets us in more trouble than confusion because it rationalizes the logic of human thinking over God's designed course of trust and commitment. We think it should be one way, and this is going to thoroughly influence how we think, what we do, how we react. Our total thinking, our total process of viewing it and internalizing it is on the basis of our human thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Does not, it is corroborated in another portion of the writings that lean not to your own understanding.
That's it.
Trust in Him. We say all of that, but it's not. We're determined to look at it from the physical earthly view.
Yes.
And I know what's wrong with much of the ministry.
Yes.
And that is they're determined to stand on the horizontal plane and to bring God down into our affairs when our gospel is telling us, to be lifted and be not conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and not to set your affections on things on earth, on things above. God is talking to us, but we are listening.
Yes. Hallelujah. Preach it. Hallelujah.
That's what's happening.
Amen.
Listen to this.
Thank God.
Doubt is denial of God's presence in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
in God's presence. Now, man is the most concrete entity in our lives. Doubt is an abandonment of our highest value of love, truth, service, hope, and faith. Doubt directs one to the nothingness or emptiness of physical dependency toward the void that exists in the absence of the Spirit of truth directing us toward the radiance of God's love. Thus, doubt is the natural aberration, whereas faith is the spiritual heartbeat of the believer. Give the Lord a high praise.
Thank you.
Now, as I said, this will be available for you. I should put it this way. We are hopefully going to finish the typing of this document, The Spirit of Truth, and we will convey it to you, hopefully, those that are here in this assembly by next week. It is my aim and purpose such that during the holidays, I won't say in your spare time, I won't say take the time. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Take time to go through this. Amen. Because there's just so many things that can happen. We do not know. We're closing out calendar year of 2003, and no one knows what's in store for the coming year, for the coming years. Amen. We don't have to live like this. We don't have to live in a knot, all balled up, all disillusioned. Amen. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but of what?
Love.
And what else?
Sound mind. Yes.
How did that come? You focus on the things and not reach up and try to pull God down to deal with us on this plane. Amen. But the idea is that our minds are elevated into the vertical sphere so that the problems are going to continue to happen and things are happening.
Sure.
But we are in the vertical sphere and we're looking down upon the situations. Amen. Wouldn't it be great to get to the point in God where you just absolutely rest upon what all He has accomplished and the eternal, ultimate aftermath of all things.
Yes.
And then we just rejoice in that each day. And I'm not saying that the things of this life don't effectuate us, but they should not have the dominant effect. I'm going to say that again.
Mm-hmm.
The things of this life, they do affect us, but they do not have to have the dominant effect.
That's it.
Amen. Jeez. You can view the trials and vicissitudes of this life as just those things that are concomitant with the creation and nature. And so when things don't go like you think they should, you say, well, that's just the creation. Pastor, that's easier said than done. Yeah, that's true. This is why so much teaching and preaching has to go into elevating our minds and taking us out of the sphere of being captives to the situations.
Yeah.
Amen. Who wants to go on the roller coaster ride of the circumstances of this life?
Oh.
No, but things are pretty good today, but then I guarantee you something is going to happen tomorrow. I don't know if the father you're around. Something's going to happen. Our expectations is that we're looking for complete satisfaction in this life. It's not going to happen.
Amen.
It's not going to happen.
Amen.
It's not going to happen.
Amen. That's it.
So we keep trying, we're not listening. And God is steadily telling us, amen, seek those things which are above. Amen. And let your joy be complete and fulfilled in Him. Can you say Him?
Him.
Can you say in Him?
In Him.
Can you say it's about Him?
It's about
Can you say it's all about Him?
All about
Give Him the praise.
Oh.
Give Him the praise. Give Him the praise.